Open your Bibles to John chapter 6. I'm going to start there tonight. And again, we're going to look at a lot of scripture. Well, maybe not as much as what we normally look at, but we'll look at some. And we're going to be dealing tonight with your calling. It's as a pastor, you know, it's interesting how that when you start pastoring, a lot of people just assume you know more than everybody else, and that's not true. You can only, I mean, when it comes to the things of the Lord, you only know what God has shown you. So, pastor, prophet, whoever, you only know what God has shown you. Now, you can live on what man has shown you, but when it comes to the true things of the Lord, you only know what God has shown you. And He can show you through His Word, He can show you through, you know, ministering to you spiritually. He can show you through the ministry of other people and confirm things in the Word and so forth. But when it comes to truth that you walk in, you really only know what the Lord has shown you. But for some reason, and I can understand it because I've been like that too myself, how that you just assume that people in ministry, when I say people in ministry, I'm talking pulpit in front of everybody ministry, they just know things. And so I've been asked questions, you know, over the years, you know, what's my calling? How do I find out my calling? And a lot of times I've encountered people who have told me what their calling was, but sadly it's not in the Word. And, you know, I've heard people say you have to choose your battles. Well, you also have to choose the times that you make comments. And sometimes people are so convinced that they have the calling of blank, and you know that there is no such calling of blank because there's nothing about it in the Word of God. Not that it's something that can't be done as far as a calling that comes from God. And so we're going to talk tonight about, you know, what is your calling. And we're not going to go so much in the direction of how do you identify what your calling is, but we're going to get a little bit better perspective of what this thing calling is all about and why you even have one. You know, I'll just be upfront and honest with you. There have been times where I have sat and I've wondered, you know, for crying out loud, you know, who am I to start a Bible college? Who am I to pastor a church? I am no better than anybody else. Who am I to have gone into other churches and ministered? Who am I to stand up and preach at one of Dave Roberson's Prayer and Power conferences? Who am I to do these things? You ever wondered, you know, well, who am I? I mean, you know, I don't know that God can use me. Who am I to think that I could be a this or a that or whatever? I mean, look at me. I messed up and made some wrong choices, and as though you're the only one, right? You think pastors don't make wrong choices? You know what's amazing? Is people sometimes assume they don't. And the evidence of that is when they do make a mistake and people want to crucify them. I mean, you can say what you want about the ministers that have made wrong choices and it got a whole lot of publicity, but that should say something to you. They have the same capacity for error that everybody else does. They're no different. I'm no different. Nobody's no different. But a lot of times people really get down on themselves. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. So I, you know, why would God even give me a calling? And on the other hand, I've had some people who have commented along the lines of, I wish God would give me a calling, as though one does not already exist. Well, you have a calling already. And we'll see that a little bit here tonight. But we're going to start in John chapter 6. Look down in verse 38. Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." I came from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Let's play with this verse for just a moment. Somebody sent me to earth to do His will. That's why I came. Somebody sent me. Now look at this. Again, just kind of playing around with these words. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now we know that Jesus, being second person of the Godhead, he's in agreement with the Father. Now let's look at this from a human perspective, just for a moment. He said, I came down from heaven. That statement seems to imply that he made a choice to do or to not to do. But then, later on, it says, the will of him that sent me. So, here we have an image of Jesus saying, somebody sent me, so I came to do that which the person sent me to do. So it does imply choice, but it also implies direct purpose. And we know that the one who sent him, you know, was the Father. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So the Father sent the Son, and the Son came to do the will of the Father, not his own will. All right? Well, now, wait a minute. If the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all the same, why would he say, I didn't come to do my own will, I came to do the will of him that sent me? How could he possibly have his own will if he's one with the Father? Have you thought of that? Not till tonight, Brother Martin. Do you see what I'm saying? It almost would appear as though Jesus maybe could have gone against the will of the Father. Doesn't it? Well, he could have. How could he have done that? He was in one of these. Doesn't the Bible say that he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin? He, the human part of him. How many of you know Jesus, the body that Jesus had wasn't Superman body? I mean, bullets didn't bounce off of him. You know what I'm saying? He didn't leap buildings in a single bound. Yeah, but Brother Martin, he walked on water. So did Peter. Jesus' body, he was a human with the nature of God, like you. That's why the Bible talks about him being the firstborn of many brethren. Firstborn, not first raised from the dead, but the firstborn of many brethren. He's not talking about physical birth, he's talking about the spiritual birth. In other words, you know, when he was raised up from the dead and the life of the Father was re-infused, if you will, into him, he was the firstborn from the dead, firstborn of many brethren, and we follow along in there somewhere, 40 millionth born or whatever, but we follow along in there somewhere. Well, he says, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now turn over to John chapter 4. Verse 34. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Boy, that's an interesting statement. He's told us, I didn't come from heaven to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Then he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Whose work? The work of him that sent me. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, that's a really interesting statement. Have you ever heard sermons along the line of, you know, Jesus is, you know, still ministering to us today and all that? And those things are true. But he's talking about a completion of something here. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. His work. Now, what's that telling us? Jesus is saying, I came here to do the work of him that sent me, and my meat is to do that work, or will, and finish that work. I don't know about you, but that kind of brings up a question to me. What work? What work is he going to finish? If he's still ministering to us today, what work is he going to finish? Well, the Bible tells us. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Look in verse 14. This is it. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the work He came to finish. You say, I thought He was still saving today. Well, He is. But the work necessary to become the Savior of the world has ended. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Martin? He was crucified. He took our sin upon Him. He died under the penalty of that sin. He was raised again from the dead. And now that He's risen, He has become the Savior of the world. He has finished the work necessary to become the Savior of the world. Now, when we talk about callings, we could put it like this. Jesus had the ministry of Savior. Okay? Are you with me? Jesus had the ministry calling of Savior. The Father sent the Son to do the work of the Father and to finish that work. And so Jesus was in heaven. He came down from heaven. And you know the story, born of a woman, whole nine yards. You know how it all goes. But He came down from heaven to be the Savior of the world. Now, let's say that this right here is the beginning of His ministry, all right? From age birth up to age 30 is not included in this part right here, because He didn't begin His ministry until about age 30. So now this, the blue line that we usually use for prayer, this now becomes Jesus' lifeline, His timeline. So Jesus begins His ministry calling to be Savior of the world. He couldn't be the Savior of the world until He got all the way down here. See? And so He starts here at age 30, and He's headed in that direction to be what the Father sent Him to be. Along the way, He's opening deaf ears, blind eyes, lame people are rising up and walking, casting out devils, raising up the dead, all of these wonderful things. But you know what? None of those things made Him the Savior of the world. You know what those things did? Demonstrated the love of the Father. If you see me, you've seen the Father. That's what all this was about. He was demonstrating the love of the Father. The ultimate demonstration of the love of the Father was when He, the Son, died on the cross. And so, He's going through year 30, 31, 32. Then He gets to age 33. And before He gets into Jerusalem, remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah appeared with Him on that mount to talk about what He was going to accomplish when He got into Jerusalem, and to talk to Him about His death and His resurrection and all this. And so, I don't know about you, that's just one of the most mind-boggling stories in all of Scripture to me. Moses and Elijah, and Peter, James, and John saw them. Moses and Elijah appeared there, and they're talking to Jesus about His crucifixion, His resurrection, and the things that He would accomplish. That is just... I hope God videoed all this stuff, because that's one of those things I'd like to see and listen and hear what they said, you know? They knew about it. Anyway, so He pauses for a moment and He's talking to Moses and Elijah while Peter, James, and John are watching about what He's going to accomplish when He gets into Jerusalem. And so that conversation comes to an end. You know, there are people that actually talk, I've actually heard things said along this line that Jesus really didn't know that all this was going to happen. I'm sorry, I disagree, because the Bible says He was slain from the foundation of the world. He knew. And He would have known from the prophecies anyway. So anyway, here He goes. He's into Jerusalem. They go through the arrest, the trial, the beating and all that, and then they hang Him on the cross. And He's there on the cross, and He says, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And he receives upon himself our sin. He becomes our sin. What Scripture says, he was made to be sin for us. So he becomes our sin. And then he dies under the penalty of our sin. Now, at that point, he still is not the Savior of the world. At that point, all he is the sacrifice. He's just a sacrifice. And through his blood, we have our sins washed away. But what sealed this whole thing is when he raised up from the dead. See? Because the Father, well, in Scripture, it talks, and Paul wrote about this, that as the Son has been raised up by the glory of the Father, we also have been raised to newness of life. So if he hadn't had his own resurrection, we couldn't have our born-again experience. See? Well, the whole thing worked together. You know, the crucifixion, the resurrection. I mean, it's all like the whole ball of wax, so to speak. So Jesus, when he's raised from the dead, that, in essence, is when he has completed the work. He's finished the work that he was sent to do, and that is to be the Savior of the world. That was Jesus' ministry calling. The Father says, Son, I've called you to be Savior. And Jesus says, well, boy, that's a pretty big task, but I'll do it. And so Jesus was sent forth with a ministry calling of Savior on his life. And he started at age 30 and went through to age 33 and then fulfilled his calling. He finished it. Now, let me show you something. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a marker, put it here because I think we may come back to it. But it's talking about Jesus. And it says in verse chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he, Jesus, ascended up on high. Now we're talking about, in essence, his resurrection and ascension to the Father, okay? When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now let me ask you something. In that list right there, do you see the word Savior? No. Well, why not? Because there is no longer the ministry of Savior available to anybody. Only one person has ever been given the ministry calling of Savior. Are you following along this line here? See what I'm saying? Okay. So, when it comes to your ministry calling, rest assured, God has not called you to be the Savior. That one's already filled. And everybody says, thank you, Lord. But we do see these others listed here, okay? Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians. Leave your marker here and turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're not going to fine-tooth comb this because we've done it often in the past and it's on tapes and it's all available to you, but we're just going to touch on it enough for review to go further into what we want to see here. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, now there are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now in verse 4, he says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now what are those diversities of gifts? Well, he begins telling you in verse 8. Well, actually, verse 7, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So if I wanted to know where it says in verse 4, what are the diversities or different kinds of gifts of the Spirit, I can find out if I look right here. Verses, essentially, 7 through 11. I can see them identified. But then in verse 4 it says there are, or verse 5 it says there are differences of administrations but the same Lord. Now this time he's not saying Spirit, this time he says Lord. Well, who's the Lord? Jesus. Alright? Now, we saw over in Ephesians a list of, it says, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. And it talks about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And then in the next verse after that, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. And then after that, it states, for the work of the ministry. And then it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay? Now, that same list is identified here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, you know that. We've gone over it again many times. But let's look at it again briefly. It says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and you'll remember we've gone over this, the word miracles, this corresponds with the ministry of the evangelist, then gifts, plural, of healings, plural. This is not the same as back up there in verse 9 where it says gifts, plural, of healing, singular. Gifts, plural, of healings, plural, is making reference to the ministry of the pastor. And again, it's all on tape. You can get the other tapes. Helps, governments, and the words helps and governments are in direct reference to the work of the ministry back over there in Ephesians chapter 4. And then diversities of tongues. This corresponds with the edifying of the body of Christ. Because, as you know, 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about when you're praying in tongues, you're edifying yourself. And the thing of the helps, again, real briefly, that has nothing to do, well, I shouldn't say nothing, but its primary meaning is the receiving of remuneration, or a person who makes money. Well, why would a person make money? Pay for the spread of the gospel. Well, why should they do that? So the pastor and the prophet and the evangelist, so they don't have to spend all their time busting their chops, trying to make enough money to feed the family, and support the ministry. Oh, but Brother Martin, you know, God keeps them humble, we keep them poor. Yes. And that came from what verse, did it? This word helps. And governments is talking about the work of the ministry, which is over there in Ephesians chapter 4. See, a lot of people, when it talks over there about the work of the ministry, they misinterpret what it says in Ephesians, as you well know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for the body of Christ to grow up so that they can do the work of the ministry. No, that's not what it's talking about. And then they tell you that the work of the ministry is, you know, cleaning the toilets and running the vacuum cleaner and standing at the door and greeting people and so on and so forth. And look again, real quickly, leave your place, keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians 12, but look back over in Ephesians 4. The end result, part of it, of what the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor helps, governments, what all these people are supposed to be doing. The end result is verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Well, I don't know how to break this to you, but I personally don't know how that there has ever been unity in the faith brought about just because somebody was changing diapers in the nursery or cleaning the toilets. This is talking about the ministry of the Word of God. All these other things are things that need to be done. And yes, everybody should pitch in and do their part. That's just a part of life. But that's not a ministry calling. You're not called to the ministry of nursery worker. It's not in Scripture. You're not, here's, well, we've gone over this so many times. There's no such thing as children's pastor in Scripture. It's not there. There's no such thing as usher. It's something that's done. There's no such thing as door greeter. There's no such thing as grounds maintenance. I'm called to the ministry of grounds maintenance. No, that might be something you do, but that's not your calling. Oh, I disagree, Brother Martin. Somebody prophesied over me and said, you're called to the ministry of grounds maintenance. Somebody prophesied to you wrong. Because you have to have a ministry that lines up with the Word of God. And if you can't identify it in Scripture, it's not a ministry calling. Now let's look again in here. Back up to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We read about the gifts of the Spirit starting in verse 7. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Well, what he's talking about, differences of administrations, he's talking about the gifts that were given unto men laid out over there in Ephesians 4, and what it says down here in verse 28, God has set some in the church. And he gives this list following there. And then in verse 6 it says, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. So, very briefly, again, verse 4 is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Verse 5 is talking about the ministry gifts or ministry callings that exist in the body of Christ. And verse 6 is talking about how that the gifts of the Spirit mix with the ministry callings that are set in the body of Christ, and God's the one who directs their operations. Okay? Now, let's look here. The Father sent the Son to earth to have the ministry of what? Savior, okay? Just for the sake of this teaching. Now, we know He did everything, and we know the Bible talks about how He is the apostle of our faith and things like that. So I'm not dismissing any of those things. I'm just trying to point some things out to you to help you understand something here. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior. Now, nobody else is going to be the Savior. That's it. One Savior, no more. However, when the Son ascended on high, He gave gifts unto men. And we refer to those as ministry callings. But it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, that God has set some in the church. Well, which is it? Did God do it or did Jesus do it? God did it through Jesus. Look over in John chapter 17. In John 17, take a look at let's pick up in verse 16. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Somebody could say, well, he's only talking about the 12, or at that point, as it was going to be, the 11, Judas, because he killed himself and all that. But look at verse 20. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, we're an indirect byproduct of the word that these guys preached, every one of us. Because if they hadn't preached it, then the people who heard it in the next level wouldn't have preached it, because they wouldn't have known what to preach. And the next level wouldn't have, and on down the line it goes till it finally got to us. Jesus said, Father, as you've sent me into the world, I have sent them. Now, let's think. The Father sent the Son to be what? Savior. Well, there's not going to be any more Savior. The Son, He received the calling of Savior, and He fulfilled that calling. He died on the cross, He raised up from the dead, He ascended back to the Father, and then He gave gifts unto men. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, government. He gave gifts unto men. The gifts that are listed there, how many of you know that there were prophets in the Old Testament? The prophet in the Old Testament is not exactly the same as the prophet in the New Testament. Won't go into that in great detail. I mean, obviously there are a lot of similarities. However, how many of you know the prophets in the Old Testament were not born again? and they were not filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? So we have two differences right there. Anyway, if the prophet in the New Testament was the exact same thing as the prophet in the Old Testament, then why would Jesus have to give that gift unto men? It was already here. If it was exactly the same, why would he have to have given it to men? You said, why would he have to give something that was already there? Every one of you in here tonight is wearing a shirt. So I can't say, you need a shirt, so therefore I will give you a shirt. You already have one. But if you took your shirt off, now please don't, but if you did, then I could say, you need a shirt. I will give you a shirt. Well, when Jesus is up in heaven and he's looking down on earth at the condition of man, he could have said, okay, now let's see here. You guys, you need some help. So I'm going to send the apostle. Yeah, I'm going to send a pastor. I'm going to send the teacher. I'm going to send the evangelist. And I'm going to send the you already have prophets. Okay, well, gosh, you don't need that one. I'll keep it up here with me. So you see what I mean? The prophet in the New Testament, there is a difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament prophets, but there are also a lot of similarities. Anyway, Jesus says, Father, as you have sent me into the world, I am sending them. How was Jesus sent into the world? To be the Savior of the world. In other words, think of it from this perspective. Father, as you sent me into the world with a calling on my life that I was supposed to fulfill, I am going to turn around and send them into the world with a calling on their lives that they are supposed to fulfill. Now notice, think back to what we've read. He said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. My meat is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His works. In other words, here's a scenario. The Father and the Son are in heaven. And the Father says, Son, you and I both know they need a Savior. You and I both know that this animal blood, it just atones, but it doesn't change their nature. My son, we've been working on this thing for 4,000 years. And we've found people throughout all that time who would listen to us. They would do what we told them to do, and everything would work out according to our plan. Well, now everything's worked out, and the time has come for you to go down there. So, son, I'm asking you to be the Savior of the world. Will you go down and do that? For you see, I would do it if I could, but I have to stay here. I need you to go down there for me to do for me what I would do myself if I were down there. Now, son, would you do that? And Jesus says, oh, Father, of course I will. The Father says, thank you, son. See you in about 33 years. And so Jesus, he comes down. And instead of the Father doing this, remember, it's the will of the Father for there to be a Savior. It's the works of the Father for there to be a Savior. And so Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will, my own works. I came to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work, because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If He were here on earth in His own body, this is what He would be doing. He'd be headed for that cross. But I'm here in His place to do it for Him. Father, as You have sent me in Your place to do Your will and Your works, what You would do if You were down here in Your own flesh body, I am going to send them to do Your will and Your works if You were down here in your own flesh body. Now, what does that say about your calling? Your calling of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, governments. What does that say about your calling? What it says is this. God is in heaven, and He is saying, boy, I really, really would like to start a church over here in Smithville, Iowa. But I can't. I'm up here in heaven. So I've got to find somebody on earth who will go there for me and start this church for me so that it can be done. And so he begins looking around and he says, son, you're the one that gave these gifts unto men. Tell me, who all has been called to be a pastor? And he says, oh, Father, well, hold on. He goes over to his computer and he punches in pastor and he hits print. And the heavenly laser printer prints out the page after page after page of pastors. The father says, son, could we narrow this down a little bit? How about pastors in the United States? He says, okay, I'll do that. So he goes back over and he types in pastors in the United States. And he says, now son, you're their savior. Which one of these have you sent, called, given to the calling of being pastor who should go to Smithville, Iowa? And Jesus says, oh, well, why didn't you say so? He goes, tippy-tap, 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 print. He says, here. He says, ah, Kim Schilt. Okay. Son, how are we going to get that information to Kim? Son says, well, Father, that's no problem, because that's why the Holy Spirit went down here, to communicate to Kim on a spiritual level what we have decreed up in heaven. Remember, Father, what I said in John, how that the Holy Spirit, He wouldn't speak of Himself, but He'd speak those things that He hears? Just like I didn't do my own will, He doesn't speak His own words. And so He will speak to Kim what He hears. I'll tell the Holy Spirit to tell Kim she's a pastor and she's supposed to go to Smithville, Iowa. Holy Spirit! And the Holy Spirit says, yo! And He says, you tell Kim that she's supposed to go to Smithville, Iowa and start a church there. The Holy Spirit says, okay. And so the Holy Spirit tells Kim, Kim, you're supposed to go to Smithville, Iowa and start a church. And Kim says, yay! And she runs and she packs everything. And the Holy Spirit says, no, wait! I didn't say now. I just said that's what you're supposed to do. You keep that in mind and you stay in preparation. I'll tell you when to go out there. Because if you go now, they're going to eat you alive. And besides that, there's a bunch of devils out there and you're just not quite yet ready for that. So, you just stay with me, fellowship with me. When the time comes, I'll say, okay, now, you go. And you'll be ready. So, Kim, the day comes, and the Holy Spirit says, you're ready. And Kim comes to me, and she says, Pastor, remember how I told you that God had called me to be a pastor, and that He was going to send me somewhere? Well, the time's come. And then I say, oh, I'm happy for you, but oh, we're going to miss you. And so we have a big sending off service and all of that, and you know, just had a wonderful time, and off she goes. She goes to Smithville, and she's continually listening to the Holy Spirit, and she starts this ministry that He's told her to start because it's what Jesus sent her to do. Because the Father would have done it Himself, but He can't. Oh, but Brother Martin, I thought the Father was God. He is. Well, He can do anything. He can't pastor. But why not? Pastors don't exist in heaven. Apostles? What's there to apostle in heaven? Prophets? What, they go around prophesying to each other? So what do they prophesy? Are you following me? The Father can't pastor, because in order to pastor, you have to be on earth in a flesh body, as in the body of Christ. You have to have this body to do that. That's why Jesus had to come down. See, this might come as a real surprise to some of you. Did you know that, you know, God, He's God. He didn't earn that title. He didn't get promoted. He's always been God. Always. Always existed. He's had the same power for all eternity. Before, after, during, at any point in history, time, whatever. He's always had the same power. He doesn't run out of power. He's God. So did you know that God had the power to remove your sin nature from the moment that Adam sinned? The power was there, but He didn't have the way to do it. Well, why not? Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. See? He's always had the power. But until He could get Jesus down here in a body to do the works of the Father, to finish the work of becoming the Savior of the world, all that power that God had, He couldn't use it to change man's sin nature, because He didn't have an avenue through which that power could be released. See? But boy, I tell you, once He got Jesus down here, and Jesus completed His work, God had the avenue. And from that moment on, once the work was finished of Jesus becoming the Savior of the world, from that moment on, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. That's because Jesus finished the will and the work of Him who sent Him. Alright, the same thing exists for us. Whatever you're called to be, it's what God would do if He were down here in His own body. But He's not. The Father is in heaven. Jesus has the responsibility of giving these gifts unto us. And so, as we sit here tonight, in this room, we have at least one pastor. But I suspect there may be more. And I know we have more than one teacher. We may have some evangelists in here. There may be some prophets in here. There may be some apostles in here. Do you see what I'm saying? He has given these gifts unto men. And so every one of us sitting in this room tonight, a gift, at least one, has been given to us. That gift is what the Father would do if He were here on earth in His own body. However, even at that, He would be limited. Because if He were here on earth having His own body, He could only be in one place at one time. Just like Jesus, one place at one time. However, now that we're born again, and we have His life and nature in us, the life and the nature of the Father, because of that, and because we're His spiritual offspring, He can take what He would do and begin divvying it out to people. And He says, now Kim, don't you get mad at me, but I'm not calling you to be an apostle. I'm calling you to be a pastor. Then He comes over here and He says, but you, Ruth, you're not going to be a pastor. Don't even think about it. You're a prophet. And He comes over here and He says, and you, Wayne, please don't try and be an evangelist. Please don't be an evangelist. Be a teacher. Be a teacher. Because you see, if I were there on earth, I'd do that. But I would be limited because I would only be in one body. but I can reproduce myself in non-deified form, and every single person who will accept my Son as Lord and Savior. And when you receive my life and my nature in you through being born again, then the Son can take that gift or gifts and throw it right in. And from that moment on, you have stepped onto your own timeline. And your responsibility is to stay on that line and keep pressing toward the mark of the fullness of your calling. Don't let the devil take you out ahead of time. He's done that to some people. Now, I don't get mad at you if that happens. I still love you. But you have a magnificent call on your life. And because it originated with me, God, you better know that I have the ability to equip you totally and completely for the absolute fulfillment of that calling. I have chosen you to represent me there on earth. Just like my Son Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I want you to be able to say, as you've seen me, you've seen Jesus and the Father. Because as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus has sent me. And so ultimately, I've been sent by the Father. And if you will stay in my presence, if you will keep your ear bent to me, and don't get caught up in the things of the world, don't get distracted, if you'll do that, then I'm going to be able to continually reveal to you more and more of the fullness of what I've called you to do. I want churches all over the place. I want evangelists all over the place. I want apostles going all over the place. Because there are billions of human beings, and even though I'm God, if I come down in the flesh, I can only be in one place at one time. That's why the Son and I have to stay up here so that you can go in our stead. Here you are. You sit here tonight, every one of you. And God has called you to be His personal representative on earth. And He is making everything about Himself available to you. The more of yourself you give to Him, the more He is able to give of Himself to you. If you pull away from Him through distractions, whatever it would be, things that take you away from God, and oh, by the way, He does understand that you have responsibilities on earth. Jobs, family, He understands that. And He expects you to make that a part of your calling. What I mean by that is, He expects you to maintain the right balance between work and family and responsibilities. He expects that. But He also knows that you're able to give to Him a certain amount of your life, time. And as you do that, He then is able to pour more and more of Himself into you. And as He's pouring more of Him into you, what He's pouring of Himself into you will be what He's called you to be. And so the pastor part of God gets poured out into the pastors. The teacher part of God gets poured out into the teachers. The evangelist part of God is going to be released into the evangelist. See what I'm saying? He's going to release all those different characteristics, all those different parts of Him together. And that's part of what it talks about there in Ephesians in the latter part of that fourth chapter about us being in unity and, in essence, edifying the body of itself in love and all. If you read that closely, it's describing like a machine that's clicking on all cylinders. Brother Martin wants a cylinder. Well, like a gear that's turning, all the teeth are mixing or whatever. Are you with me on that? You see what I'm saying in this? God needs us. So, what is your calling? What is your calling? What is it that God has called you to do for Him? So, I don't know. What would you like to do? What would you like to do? If you could choose any of those, what would it be? Well, I got to tell you, Brother Martin, I think I'd like to be an evangelist. Now, I don't know if that's my calling or not, but boy, I think I'd like to be an evangelist. Stand up, preach the Word of God, shout a little bit, get people saved. Boy, Brother Martin, I think that's what I'd like to do. You know what? You may have just identified what your calling is and didn't even realize it. The more time that you will spend in His presence and listen, He's going to confirm more and more what that calling is, of that gift that's been given to you, that part of Him that He has deposited into you so that you could do for Him what He would do if He were here. But He can't. He's not here. Bless God, we are. And we get to represent God. We get to represent the Creator of the universe to everybody we come in contact with. Even if the only people you come in contact with are Smithville, Iowa residents, or wherever it is, you are God's representative. Stay in His presence. Listen. Let Him tell you what He wants you to do. It might be that the thing He tells you right now is, look, before I tell you for sure what you're called to do, I need you to stay in prayer more. Because if I tell you right now, you just try to do it on your own strength. So you stay in here with me. Just stay. I'm going to tell you pretty soon. Just stay here. Just keep praying. Just keep worshiping. Just keep doing these things. Just keep doing them. The day is going to come where you're going to hear me whisper into you, apostle, evangelist, governments, helps. You're going to hear me tell you what I've called you to do. And then you're going to understand why I didn't tell you very clearly 5 years ago. He wants you to know because you're all He has. He has nobody else but us. If we as a body of Christ don't do it, it won't get done. Praise God, though. He wants you to represent Him. That is incredible. God wants us to represent Him. Boy, He must really love us. Praise God. You're all His favorites. Hallelujah.